Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites, and there's always room for one more. All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous. I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home. I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist. A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional.
But grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
So that reminds me of a little story that I'd like to share with you. A ship's captain looked out into the dark at night and at a faint distance, and he immediately noticed a signalman sending out a signal. And he turned around to his radio operator. He said, "Send a signal. Tell that ship to veer its course 10 degrees to the north." So the radio operator sent it, and he got a reply back instantly and said, "You divert your course 10 degrees to the south." The captain got irate, and he came back and he said, "You tell them I'm a captain, and they will divert their course 10 degrees to the north." Reply came back instantly and said, "I'm Seaman Joe Smith, and I say divert your course 10 degrees to the south." The captain got irate, and he came back and he said, "I'm telling you what, divert your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a captain and a battleship." The seaman came back and he says, "Divert your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm a lighthouse." We have to think a little bit about the excuses that we make and how we really get wrapped up into the excuse more than anything in our life. And so thinking about this party that was going on, I was thinking about invitations. You know, and being a pastor, you know, we get invitations all the time. You know, "Hey, come to my party." "Hey, no, come to my party." "Oh, wait a minute. Here's a formal cotillion you can go to." "Oh, wait a minute. You can hobnob with all the high or ups in society." And we get these invitations to go to weddings like in a year in advance. And I asked my wife, I said, "You know, with our busy schedule that we have, why are these people sending us to this in a year in advance?" She goes, "You idiot, it's a save the date." Save the date. Save the date for what? You save the date for the party so you can go. Oh. So then for the next year, I get to see this picture of this couple hanging on a refrigerator, reminding me that I'm supposed to save the date for their wedding. Thousands of miles away. Now, me personally, I think save the date usually means save the date so you can send me a gift. Don't care if you come, but send me a gift. I'm like, okay. So when the date gets a little bit closer, we send out a card or a gift or something like that. But we didn't really save the date too terribly much. And I thought about this scripture. And if you look at the scripture today, I'll give you a little bit of history. We think that save the date came about in this time. You know, in the last 20th century, we think save the date became popular. but actually it predates biblical times. Because save the date actually happened when God invited us to the first party. And he sent out a save the date reminder to us in the form of Moses and the other prophets. And he told us that a party was coming. And see, in biblical times, they sent out two invitations to a party. One to announce the party was going to happen. And then the day of the party, they'd send out the servants to tell you, hey, Jason, Nikki, come to my party. It's ready. Come on over to the house. You know, Sam, come on. Let's go to the party. Let's go. Come on. I've sent my servants out. Why aren't you coming? And we tend to forget that that party was there. And then we forget that why the party was being thrown. You know, and if we look at the text, we really, really examine this text. It doesn't say who's throwing the party at all. If you read the text and if you really read the commentaries and the biblical histories and things like that, it doesn't ever tell you who throws the party. But it does tell you who's the guest of honor. And the guest of honor is Jesus. And the people at the time would really fight to get that invitation. You know, they were fighting to want to be part of that invitation to come to the party because Jesus was there, because then I get the opportunity to hobnob with the higher ups. I'm a religious leader, so I'm going to be around this new religious teacher. But as the day as the party got nearer, the people decided they didn't want anything to do with it. Something else better come along. Now, I spent many, many years in youth ministry, and I'm going to tell you, it's nothing new, but teenagers today have that problem. Adults have that problem. We get invited to something and it's save the date or be ready for this event, and we wait before we RSVP just in case something else better comes along. We wait for that better instead of the party. And we forget that the reason why we were invited is because the person hosting the party wants us to come because they want us to interact with the guest of honor of the party. They want us to be part of that friendship. They want us to be wrapped up in that. But we wait for something else better to come along. And what happens is that excuse gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And there was a country song many years ago that, and I forgot what girl sang it because, well, I don't listen to country music, but my daughter does. And she played this one time. And it was talking about the excuses a woman gives to a man on the reason why she can't go out on a date. She's got to wash her hair. She's got to restring her guitar. She's going to wash her cat. She's going to do all kind of crazy things because there's always an excuse. Instead of just coming straight out and being honest and saying, nah, I'm not going to go. And I thought about that. And the church. Have you ever thought about the church and how we make excuses about church? And how at times we think, okay, the church is here, but we want to make an excuse about, well, it's my only day of the week to sleep in. I'm up Monday through Friday fighting for the man. I'm working. I'm slaving. Saturday, I've got to clean the house, take care of the kids, wash the dog. I got to mow the grass. I got to do this. I got to do that. Sunday's my only day to sleep in. And you crazy people in Alpha, Illinois have changed the time for worship from 10:30 to 9:30. So, oh, there's no way I'm going to get up and be there before then. You just can't do it. It's not that important to me. And then you get those that were a lot like my father. And my father was a great man. He really was. But my dad's priorities got a little confused at times. And dad would use this excuse. I don't need a church to worship the God. And then we'd have discussions. Dad, you don't need the church. That's great. You don't need the church, but you need the fellowship. You need that family that comes together, that when the prayer list is not one note card, but two note cards long, you get that connection where the people need you in their life. You're here for a purpose to bless people. You're here to go and really help out where times are tough. You're not here to make the excuse of, you know, well, my grass is growing. Well, yeah, great. Everybody's grass is growing. Oh, it's my only day to sleep in. Well, everybody's tired. We've got to learn to get up, be part of it. And we have to look at the excuse that these different people gave. One man had bought a field and he wanted to go see it. He bought a field and he wanted to go see it. Now, last time I checked, unless you're living in some kind of fairy tale, land did not get up and move away. It's still going to be there for you to see after the party. And think about the field that you got when you're at that party. And think about how you can look at people and say, hey, Dave, I've got this new field. You ought to see it. It's 40 acres and nothing but flat land. Oh, I can drive my John Deere tractor all across that land. Dave, you ought to come see my new field after we leave the party today. No, but the excuse was, I can't because I want to go see it. I don't want you to see it, but I want to see it. And then the next one says, another purchased 5 yoke of oxen and he was going to check on them. Now, all of you that have been around a farm in your entire life realize that you can get up early in the morning and you can feed that livestock and you can take care of that livestock and you can still make it to the party. So don't use it as an excuse. We hear that same excuse of, well, I can't come to church because, well, I don't have anything to wear. Now, last night my daughter wanted to come over and work at the community meal, but Lindy, why did you tell her no? Wanted to come naked. That's my daughter's excuse. If I can't go naked, I'm not going to go. Okay. Same thing about people for church. We work out different kind of excuses on why they can't come. I don't have anything to wear. Oh, people are going to judge me if I wear the exact same outfit. And my family has got me stuck watching this Home and Garden channel now on House Hunters International and this and that. And it's one of those shows that I kind of sit there and I go, wow, how many people really have $500,000 to waste on a second home? You know, and I sit there and I watch these programs. And there was this one lady who went as far as saying that she needed a place in her closet to mount her whiteboard. And I'm not making fun of your whiteboard. But she had a place to hang her whiteboard that she could write down her outfits so she wasn't going to repeat the same outfit in a month's time. Now, me, I'm thinking, wow, you've got way too many clothes if you're not going to repeat it in any month's time. But that was her excuse on why she couldn't have this house, this $500,000 home, because there wasn't a place to hang the whiteboard in her closet to be able to not match her exact same outfit. Lame excuse number 2. The third is he just got married and stated that he just couldn't come. Now, this is where all you women in the room are going to look at me and go, oh! Here's the truth. Once you marry him forever, so you're going to see him forever. Take him to the party with you and already accept the idea that, guys, you're going to stand in one corner and talk, and the women are going to stand in the other corner and talk. And both of them's ideas are never going to meet. I was performed a wedding here a couple of weeks ago, and the bride got so wrapped up in the ceremony. She wanted this and she wanted that. And it started out being 10 people were going to come to the wedding. Then 20 people were going to come to the wedding. And then like the 300th phone call I received from her, there was going to be 50 people at the wedding. And then 75 and well, maybe 100. And I'm thinking, wow, it's Alpha. We have no air conditioning, and you want to put 100 people in here? It's going to get hot. And I kept listening to her as she kept changing, and she was more about the wedding itself instead of the marriage. And I told her, I said, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the pageantry, but you're not focusing on the marriage. Make that more important than everything else involved. You're doing the right step as you're stepping before God and you're proclaiming your love. But don't make it about the party. Don't make it about the excuse to have the party. There's many times that we look at this thing that we call our faith. And we need to learn to mingle with the other party guest that God has invited into this party. And you have to realize in this text that the master says, go out to the busy streets, the side streets, the back alleys, the homes that have, the homes that don't have, and bring every person with you to the party. I don't care who they are. I want them all here. I want them all to come in and be involved. I want them to come in and enjoy my meal that I lay before them. I want them to sit on my furniture. I want them to spill things on the carpet. I want the kids to laugh and play. I want them to experience my house for what it is. It's a place to gather. It's a place to be with friends. It's a place to have a party. It's a place to celebrate life. And let those that want to make the excuse not to come realize that final sentence. There's no place at my party for them that make an excuse to avoid me. We have an opportunity today to really experience the reason why we came to the party. The party is an important time for us. It's a time for us to worship, to gather, to be part of what God wants us to enjoy. Each and every time we come to His table, we have to realize that the Master didn't put just the simple stuff out. He put the best out. He didn't invite just you. He invited everyone. He wanted everyone to come and experience the power and the love of His Son. Please join me as we